Lesson 1. Acts chapter 1, viewed from the perspective of the gospel of the water and the spirit. Acts chapter 1 testifies that it was not simply the word of God announcing the start of God's church, but a decisive turning point, showing how the gospel of the water and the spirit, which Jesus Christ already completed, is being witnessed within the early church. This chapter is not speaking of a new truth of salvation, but is dealing with the spiritual preparation process to preach the already fulfilled gospel of salvation to the whole world. Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, 40 days after resurrection, confirming the ministry of the gospel completed once for all. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive, after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Luke mentions the former writing, and records the things from when Jesus began to do and teach, until the day he was taken up, after giving commandments through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. It is recorded that the resurrected Jesus was seen by the disciples for 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. This period was not a time to add new doctrines, but a time to make the disciples clearly recognize the already accomplished salvation. That is, the event where the gospel of God was confirmed by the resurrection, having been judged for the punishment of sin on the cross, through the structure of having the sins of the world transferred by the baptism Jesus received from John. Acts is not a history of making salvation, but records the state of Jesus' disciples waiting to witness to the already completed salvation. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 5. Relationship with the water baptism John gave. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Jesus assembles with the apostles and commands them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which they heard from him. He said, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. This records that Jesus, having had the sins of the world transferred to him through the baptism he received from John, received the punishment for sin on the cross, resurrected from death, and showed the Holy Spirit as a gift to those who believe. John's water baptism refers to the event where the sins of the world were actually transferred to Jesus' body, through the structure of Jesus receiving baptism from John the Baptist and having the sins of the world transferred. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the record of the work where the Holy Spirit comes upon those who believe in this gospel of the water and the Spirit, and testifies to that fact. The Holy Spirit is not one who comes to process the sin problem, but refers to the work of the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit comes upon the people of faith, for whom the punishment for sin has already ended, causing them to witness to the gospel of the water and the Spirit. Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. Purpose of the Holy Spirit. Witnesses of the gospel of the water and the Spirit beyond personal experience. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. When the disciples gathered, they asked, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" and still placed interest in this worldly restoration. However, Jesus says that the times and seasons are what the Father has put in his own authority, so it is not for you to know, and tells them the essence of the mission. The Lord proclaims, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." The purpose of the Holy Spirit coming was not for personal ecstasy or the strengthening of religious zeal, but was for the purpose of making them witness to the already accomplished gospel of the water and the Spirit to the ends of the earth. Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, announcing the completion of the atonement ministry and the opening of the era of the Holy Spirit. Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven." It says, "Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight." Jesus' resurrection and ascension is not a simple disappearance, but a word announcing that all atonement ministry on earth has been completed. No more repetitive bearing of sin and punishment for sin is needed, and salvation was already completed and fulfilled within the ministry of Jesus and John the Baptist. Two men dressed in white clothes stood by and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven." The word of the gospel of the water and the Spirit awakens that it is not a faith of vaguely looking only at the sky, but that must boldly witness to the word of the gospel of the water and the Spirit, which has already been accomplished on this earth. Acts chapter 1, verses 12 through 14, the essence of waiting. Not repentance for the removal of sin, but waiting for ministry. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying, Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication, with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. The disciples returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, went up to the upper room where they were staying, and with one mind devoted themselves entirely to prayer. This waiting was not a time of repenting with tears, to obtain the removal of sin, or making a resolution to achieve sanctification. This is because Jesus had already become their Lord by receiving baptism from John, to have the sins of the world transferred to him, receiving the judgment of sin on the cross, and resurrecting from death. Now, those who became Jesus' disciples were preparing for the full-scale preaching of the gospel of the water and the Spirit through the promised presence of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1, verses 15 through 26. Qualifications of an apostle. Requirements for a witness who saw Jesus' baptism and resurrection. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples. Altogether, the number of names was about 120, and said, "Men and brethren, this scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke before by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered with us, and obtained a part in this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the wages of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his entrails gushed out. And it became known to all those dwelling in Jerusalem. So that field is called in their own language, Akeldama, that is, field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, 'Let his dwelling place be desolate, and let no one live in it, and let another take his office.' Therefore, of these men who have accompanied us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John to that day when he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection." And they proposed two: Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, "You, O Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which of these two you have chosen to take part in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place." And they cast their lots, and the lot fell on Matthias. And he was numbered with the 11 apostles. When they were supplementing an apostle to fill the empty seat of Judas Iscariot, the criteria were very strict and clear. Peter says, "Beginning from the baptism of John to that day when he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection." The condition of an apostle was not character or zeal, but had to be one who could directly see and witness together to Jesus' ministry of bearing the sins of mankind through baptism, and the event of resurrection that confirmed that removal of sin. In conclusion, Acts chapter 1 presupposes that it was already completed through the baptism Jesus received from John and the cross. It says that the Holy Spirit came to cause this completed word of the gospel of the water and the Spirit to be witnessed to the whole world, and that the Church of God is not an institution that makes salvation by itself, but was a community of witnesses that preaches the word of the gospel of the water and the spirit of salvation that has already been accomplished. Acts chapter 1 clearly proclaims to us, through the historical structure of the gospel, that without the foundation of the word, called the gospel of the water and the spirit, true work of the Holy Spirit also cannot exist. A sermon by Paul C. Jong. If we view the words of Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 26, from the perspective of the gospel of the water and the Spirit preached by Pastor Paul C. Jong, this chapter is not simply a record of the birth of the church, but a solemn process where God establishes witnesses to testify to the already completed gospel of the water and the Spirit of salvation. Luke reveals in verses 1 through 3 the opening of Acts that he had already recorded the foundation of the gospel in the Gospel of Luke through the expression, "all that Jesus began both to do and teach." The things pertaining to the kingdom of God that he taught while appearing to the disciples for 40 days after his resurrection were not a process of creating a new method of salvation. This was a process of revealing to the disciples that Jesus had already taken upon himself the sins of the world by receiving baptism from John the Baptist at the Jordan River, bore the penalty of sin, received it on the cross, and confirmed that truth of salvation by the resurrection from the dead, thereby making them evangelists. In verses 4 and 5, Jesus said to the disciples, "He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father." This command to wait for the Holy Spirit implies the necessity of the disciples' ministry to testify to the already completed salvation. The Holy Spirit is not one who accomplishes atonement by himself, but one who confirms in our hearts the word of the truth of salvation. That Jesus took upon himself the sins of the world by receiving baptism from John and carried them on his body and paid the wages of sin on the cross. Therefore, the coming of the Holy Spirit is an event of being clothed with power to boldly testify to the already completed word of the gospel of the water and the Spirit. In verses 6 through 8, when the disciples asked, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" Jesus turned their attention away from political restoration or timing and declared, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." Here, a witness is not simply one who performs miracles, but speaks of the salvation where Jesus Christ took upon himself the sins of the world through the baptism he received from John and fulfilled the penalty of sin on the cross. The power of the Holy Spirit is always with the faith that believes in the baptism Jesus received from John and the cross, and through this, makes one testify to the gospel of the removal of sin to the whole world. In verses 9 through 11, when Jesus was taken up into heaven, angels said, "Why do you stand gazing up into heaven?" turning the disciples' eyes back to the mission on this earth. This states that since Jesus took upon himself the sins of the world through the baptism he received from John, received the judgment of sin, and finished the ministry of salvation by resurrecting from the dead, the mission to testify to that completed word of the gospel, of the water and the Spirit, to the whole world, has now been entrusted to the church and the saints. The task left to the saints who wait for the Lord, who will come again in like manner as he went into heaven after resurrecting from the dead and ascending, is to preach the word of the gospel of the water and the Spirit to the whole world. Finally, in the process of verses 21 and 22, where they established an apostle to replace Judas Iscariot, the condition of an apostle is presented very clearly. It had to be, "Of these men, who have accompanied us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John, to that day when he was taken up from us." This emphasizes that the office of an apostle required one who witnessed and believed the fact that Jesus took upon himself the sins of the world of mankind by receiving baptism from John, his death on the cross, and the entire process of resurrection from the dead. The Church of Acts was not a gathering of those who only knew the suffering of the cross, but a community of born-again people who received the removal of sin by believing in the word of the gospel of the water and the Spirit. Today, Acts chapter 1 tells us the fact that we must not remain in emotional confessions of the cross, but must be believing in the perfect gospel of the water and the Spirit, where Jesus took charge of the sins of the world by the baptism he received from John at the Jordan River and received the judgment of sin on the cross. The Holy Spirit testifying to the word of the gospel of the water and the Spirit in our hearts so that we become convinced that there is no more sin in our hearts. This is the very truth of the only word of the gospel of the water and the Spirit that the apostles of the early church preached. Those who believe in the word of the gospel of the water and the Spirit of salvation completed like this are the true witnesses of the gospel today. And through the church preaching this gospel, the work of the kingdom of God continues even at this moment, and the kingdom of God is being expanded. Questions and answers from Acts chapter 1. Question 1. By believing in what gospel does one receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit in one's heart? The baptism of the Holy Spirit is the gift of the Holy Spirit received from God when one believes in the word of the gospel of the water and the Spirit, where Jesus took upon himself the sins of the world through the baptism he received from John and fulfilled the penalty of sin on the cross. Therefore, the question, how does one receive it, is ultimately connected to the question, what word of the gospel does one believe? First, the word of the Bible states that the subject of the baptism of the Holy Spirit gives the Holy Spirit as a gift to those who have received the removal of sin in their hearts, by believing in the Lord, who washed away the sins of the world, by receiving baptism from John, received the judgment of sin on the cross, and resurrected from the dead. Acts chapter 2, verses 37 through 39. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Acts chapter 1, verse 5. The baptism of the Holy Spirit does not exist separately from the ministry of Jesus Christ's baptism and the ministry of the cross. Jesus took upon himself the sins of the world by receiving baptism from John and accepted the judgment of sin on the cross. We receive the Holy Spirit as a gift by being saved from all our sins through believing in this word of the gospel of the water and the Spirit. In the New Testament age, regarding the ministry of the gospel of salvation, where the Lord saves us from the sins of the world, those who have received the removal of sin in their hearts by believing in the baptism he received from John the Baptist and the ministry of the cross receive the Holy Spirit as a gift. Therefore, to those who believe in this gospel of the water and the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God comes into their hearts as a gift. This is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Looking at Acts chapter 2, Peter did not say to speak in tongues or to have emotional experiences. He says, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Acts chapter 2, verse 38. The repentance spoken of here is not simple emotional remorse, but a word stating that one must cast aside one's own thoughts, return to the faith of believing in the baptism Jesus Christ received from John and the ministry of the cross, have one's sins removed, and thereby receive the Holy Spirit as a gift. Also, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 says this, "In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." The Holy Spirit is not given after experiencing some special faith experience, but is a gift of God given as the seal of the Holy Spirit the moment one believes in the gospel of salvation. That is, the baptism Jesus received from John and the judgment of the cross. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is not a second blessing, but a gift of God given at the same time as receiving the removal of sin, a seal of the Holy Spirit received by faith. Therefore, the way to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit can be summarized by the following faith. First, it is the faith that admits that oneself is a sinner and one who deserves to receive the judgment of sin and hopes for God's mercy of salvation. Second, it is the faith that believes that Jesus Christ took upon himself the sins of the world by receiving baptism from John, accepted the penalty of sin on the cross, and thereby saved all sinners from sin. Since this faith is the faith that believes in the word of the gospel of the water and the Spirit, the Lord accepts their faith and, in return, pours the Holy Spirit into their hearts as a gift. Third, we must know the fact that we receive salvation from our sins once and for all by the faith that believes in the word of the gospel of the water and the Spirit that the Lord made. And it is neither salvation obtained by keeping God's law, nor salvation obtained by believing in theological doctrines. And the life of faith is no longer asserting one's own fleshly thoughts and self-righteousness, but relying only on the word of the gospel of salvation spoken by the Lord. Receiving the Holy Spirit as a gift through the faith, believed in the heart, and living according to the Lord's will becomes the first step of the life of faith. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is not an experience-centered life of faith, but is coming to walk with the Holy Spirit in a blessed life of faith achieved by faith, believing in the word of the gospel, of the water, and the Spirit. Therefore, do you believe the word of the gospel, of the water, and the Spirit in your hearts? And you must hold on to the basis of the sure word of salvation that caused you to receive the removal of sin in your hearts. The Holy Spirit dwells in the heart that has received the removal of sin. When one is born again, by believing in the ministry of the water and the blood of Jesus Christ with the heart, the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit who dwells within their hearts. In conclusion, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not received by praying for a long time, nor is it received through fasting prayer, nor is it received through the laying on of hands received from people. It is receiving the Holy Spirit as a gift only by the faith that believes in the righteous ministry of Jesus, where Jesus Christ took upon himself the sins of the world through the baptism he received from John the Baptist and accepted the judgment of sin on the cross. Therefore, the question is this: am I seeking an experience, or am I believing in the completed gospel of the water and the Spirit? Or do I know that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a gift of God already given to those who believe in the gospel of the water and the Spirit? Question 2. By believing in what word of the gospel can one become a faithful disciple of Jesus? In Acts chapter 1, verses 21 through 22, it says, "Therefore, of these men who have accompanied us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John, to that day when he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection." In this word, it is saying that in order to fill the place of Judas, who was a disciple of Jesus, one must be chosen from among those who have the faith that believes in the word of the gospel, of the water, and the Spirit, just like Jesus' disciples. That is, only one who possesses the faith believing in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, who took on the sins of the world through the ministry of the baptism Jesus received from John, accepted the judgment of sin on the cross, and resurrected from the dead, could truly become a faithful disciple of Jesus. Reference: Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17, John chapter 1, verse 29, John chapter 19, verses 17 through 30, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 9 through 18.